2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning, KSL News Time now, 8:30.
It's 23 degrees.
Things looking really good on the freeways right now. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
The inauguration of Joe Biden. Special coverage on Utah's morning news.
I just have to bring you up to the second here on what's happening in Washington, Amanda, as President-elect Biden and the First Lady-elect are right there, along with Kamala Harris and her husband. They just made their way up the steps of the Capitol. I'm assuming those are Capitol Police, those that were defending the Capitol not long ago, and all standing in full dress uniform saluting as they make their way up that long steps, the long steps leading into the Capitol building, where he will take the oath of office coming up in about an hour or so.
It was wonderful to watch them walk together, hand in hand, up those steps. The Biden administration says they will get to work immediately.
Even today, on Inauguration Day, Biden is planning to sign about a dozen executive orders. It's intended to send a shock to the political system, but also to set a clear tone about the path forward. So he's going to be undoing some of President Trump's most controversial moves. He's going to be rejoining the Paris Climate Accord, undoing that so-called Muslim ban, but also taking steps towards Biden's agenda items.
ABC's Mary Bruce reporting will carry the swearing in of both the vice president and the president live here on his radio.
As you can imagine, security is extremely tight in Washington, D.C. right now as dignitaries take their seats outside the Capitol building for the swearing-in ceremony.
This morning, all of the security is in place, layer after layer of fencing, the National Guard shoulder to shoulder between those layers of fencing, federal agents everywhere. All of the worries over the past 2 weeks since the Capitol riot, shutting down the National Mall, doing everything possible to secure this area. The message went out, do not come to Washington. Today is a big test.
ABC's Alex Stone on the ground for us in D.C. A side note, CNN is reporting a bomb threat was called into the Supreme Court building in Washington, but at this point, the building has not been evacuated.
Utah Representative Chris Stewart says he has been exposed to COVID-19 and announced he will not attend today's presidential inauguration. Stewart was exposed just before his flight to Washington, D.C., and he began experiencing symptoms. His spokesperson says he had every intention of attending the inauguration to show unity, but now he will stay home. All the rest of Utah's congressional delegation will be in attendance at the swearing-in ceremony.
During the early morning hours, President Trump released a list of pardons and commutations before he left the White House. ABC's Derek Dennis reports.
Just hours before leaving office, President Trump pardoned or commuted the sentences of 143 people, nonviolent drug offenders, disgraced politicians, white-collar criminals, and those serving exceptionally long sentences. Among them, former White House strategist Steve Bannon, arrested in an alleged scam involving private donations to build the border wall with Mexico. Also, former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, serving just 7 years of a 28-year sentence for racketeering and a bribery scheme while holding office. No pardon for the president or any of his family. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
A Utah resident was on the list of people who received a pardon this morning from President Trump. KSL News Radio's John Wojcik has the details.
Lynn Barney was one of 73 people who received a pardon from the outgoing president, not to mention another 70 people who had their sentences commuted. An announcement from the White House stated that Barney had his pardon supported by Senator Mike Lee and numerous notable members of the Utah business community. The statement goes on to say that Barney was sentenced to 35 months in prison for possessing a firearm as a previously convicted felon after previously being convicted for distributing a small amount of marijuana. John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
President Donald Trump has followed the presidential tradition of leaving a note in the White House for incoming President Joe Biden. His deputy press secretary, Judd Deard, declined to reveal what's in that note, citing privacy for communication between presidents.
Former President Barack Obama sent out a tweet this past hour, lending his support to his former vice president. The tweet simply said, "Congratulations to my friend, President Joe Biden. This is your time."
High on the Hill 2021.
One of the first bills the Utah House of Representatives approved is a bill creating harsher restrictions on DUI suspects. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards reports.
The proposal is known as Sarah's Bill. It's named for the girl who was paralyzed from the waist down and had her legs amputated after a drunk driver hit her car she was in last year. This bill allows harsher bail terms for someone accused of injuring others while driving under the influence. The bill's sponsor says a judge should decide if someone is at risk to the public. It unanimously passed through the House and now moves to the Senate. Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.